Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. So he's saying, this is the sum of what we've said. We have a high priest, and all that means, right? He's set down on the right hand of God. Really, he says, on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Because there is no... He says the right hand. It is a figure of speech indicating the place of favor and honor. Sit thou at my right hand. He is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. A tabernacle is the old word for a tent. In the Old Testament, the Israelites, their first... mode of worship was when they came out of Egypt, God appointed them a tabernacle, a tent, because they were wandering in the wilderness. They were wandering in the wilderness and they needed something mobile they could set up and take down. So they set up the order of the sanctuary in the form of the tabernacle. And this one is not, and that was made by the Israelites according to the pattern that God dictated. But the tabernacle, the true tabernacle, the tabernacle in heaven, so to speak. And this is speaking in a figurative, not necessarily a figurative way, but in a way that, you know, the earthly thing is a shadow of that which is in heaven. Or that which is with God, however you want to look at it. The earthly thing, therefore, is really, I mean, if you consider what a shadow is compared to the actual thing, it is very different. It only is similar in the facet that it traces the outline of the thing. But it does not very well approximate the actual thing. When you see the thing, the shadow may, you know, you may recognize the thing by having seen the shadow. Oh, that's the thing at which I saw the shadow of. But there's so much more to the actual than to the shadow. So even terms like the true tabernacle is speaking in shadow language. Because we really don't know what the true thing that that tabernacle approximates is. Verse 3 says, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Make everything exactly the way I showed you. The way I told you, you will make them. And what Paul's saying is, the things in the law were a shadow of the things that would be in Christ, and a shadow of the things which are from heaven. And if Christ had been, you know, if he was on earth, he wouldn't be a priest, because, you know, he wouldn't qualify, according to the law of the Jews. There were already people in that office who offered gifts and sacrifices. And according to the law, you know, because the law provided for such things. God was very specific. Follow the pattern that I showed you. The same thing has to do with Christ in our walk. And this is not entirely tangential, but it's important. He is a pattern that we are to imitate. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when we appear, we will be like him. It's a shadow. It's something we can look at that gives us a rough idea of the form that it's going to take. And you think about it, we know that in righteousness, holiness, and honor, it shall be. But that's just like saying in 30 degrees and at 75 degrees and 50 degrees. I mean, there are a lot of specifics involved. If you were to actually break a shadow down into its mathematical components, it's very complicated. But still, it is just the shadow cast by the actual thing. It's really just an outline when the light shines across the actual thing. So the priesthood, the sanctuary, the tabernacle, all those Old Testament things served as shadows of what Christ was bringing and of what exists in heaven. Verse 6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. I mean, if the first covenant was so great, there would be no new covenant, looking for a new covenant. In verse 8, he talks about the scriptures from the Old Testament that talk about the new covenant, but let's just cover verse 6 in a little more detail before we go on. Christ's ministry is more excellent than the ministry of the ministers of the altar in the Old Testament, of the priests. He has a more excellent ministry. He is the mediator of a better covenant. His ministry is so much more excellent, as we learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because it is the ministering of righteousness is so much more exceeding glorious than the ministry of condemnation. And the old covenant represented a ministry of condemnation, because it was all about condemnation. The law condemned you. Your sacrifices would bring you out from under condemnation and give you forgiveness. But you were all always looking at condemnation, looking for forgiveness from sins. In the new covenant, instead of continually bring offerings for sins to be forgiven over and over and over again, he forgives our sins by one sacrifice and blesses us in turning us from our sins, so that we don't continually have to come back for the same things every year, every day, over and over again. And obviously, in the experience of humanity, it still takes time. But in the old system, it was like